Hey, we're live. Jimmy D. Wolf. So how you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing great, man. Full of my mom's meatloaf, and my wife Katie got set up on her insulin pump today, which is a huge blessing, man. I mean, thank God for that. She doesn't have to struggle with checking her blood sugar all the time and monitoring how much insulin's going in, and it's a constant struggle, you know. It's a terrible disease, and she got her insulin pump all set up today, so that was, you know, one of the best things that's happened for a very long time to us. Nice. So feeling really, really grateful, man, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, the technology is amazing now. Like, I have an app on my phone where I can look and see her blood sugar if it goes low. Like, if I'm down there and
oh my gosh, if we're auditing, that,
yeah, I can look anytime and see what her blood sugar is and get notifications if it goes too low. And
oh my, pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, technology, you know, I have such a love hate relationship with it because I bang my head against the wall with it so often, and then something like that comes along and you're just like, wow, blown.
Well, you know, StreamYard. Can you see that live viewer comments show up on StreamYard?
Yes.
This is an example. Click on a comment to show it on screen. Oh, I didn't realize we could show it on screen. You're still learning. Talk about technology. Learning, yeah, exactly. The technology. So, you know, that this computer that we're using, it's been my mainstay. It's my studio computer. I use it for recording, and it's an iMac. And it has been really slow for the past year or so. And which is one of the reasons we had, well, I think last week we didn't even have a podcast. We did record it, but it was so bad.
It was jank.
The audio was really bad. And so we deleted it.
Yeah.
We absolutely deleted it. So, well, how can I get rid of this? Let's see. Now I don't know if that showed on the StreamYard comment, which is, this is all the comments you can have, and it's showing on the screen. It's like, I mean, so, you know, slow, and I wasn't doing stuff, and just random stuff. Oh, I remember what it was. I was trying to upload a video that I'd recorded on iMovie, and wouldn't upload it. And I left it overnight. Saturday morning, I got up, and still hadn't uploaded. So I finally took it to the local Mac store, ZMac. Shout out to ZMac. Awesome place. They work on, you know.
Yeah, that place is awesome. In Berry Hill?
Yeah. And they work on just a few doors down from the now closed venue, Douglas Corner. And they specialize in out-of-warranty apples, which is right up my alley. You know, because I'm used to, in South Dakota, I used to go to the store that was also in the front was an Apple store. And an Apple retail space is, you know, really cool. It's got all the latest technology and all these screens and all this stuff happening. And then you go in the back, and it's kind of an afterthought. And a guy's overworked. It's one guy working for a wage. And, you know, it's a quick to go to, I can't fix it, you need to buy a new one kind of attitude.
Sure.
First, ZMac, they don't even work on computers that are in warranty. They don't do any, they're just a shop that has to make it on their support. And we brought in the laptop they're using, which is a 2011 or 12. And Sophia, the young lady behind the counter, said, "Oh, this is a really good computer. But we had to put a hard drive in it because the hard drive was bad." And I'm so used to hearing, "Oh, you need to upgrade. You need to buy new." And she's saying, "Yeah, once we get the hard drive in here, this will last you a long time." Were you there when she said that? I know I went there without you and with you, and I don't remember which ones you were with. You were there and weren't. But my hard drive is bad, and they put in a new hard drive. It was a solid state, which I thought would never go bad. It has no moving parts. It lasted about half as long as some of my rotating discs. I have rotating discs, external discs that are 10 years old that have never failed. And this solid state SSD, man. So, and I still have some settings. So they uploaded everything from the old one and I had to download a bunch of apps. Well, they were afraid to bring it over directly because they're afraid it would be corrupted because there was something wrong with that. And like my settings, every time I tried to save something, it said, you didn't have permission to save this. And it's driving me crazy. I had to go in, find it, enter the permissions, and I had a lot of files. So I went on Apple, and it stumped two people before I finally found the right person. And I was on Apple support 3 hours at least, and I got it fixed now. It's just one of those things. I hate spending that time, but it's worth it because now I can, as normal, save a file, and I don't have to have them say, you don't have permission to save this file. It was a very simple thing. We had set the blanket permissions, but there's another step. You have to broadcast them. And the first two people didn't even know that. So we had a supervisor on there. Had a shared screen of them talking on the phone. I mean, Apple support, I didn't pay a cent for it. You know, this is a 2013 computer. So God bless them for that. Customer support, it's a fading thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I was always a big fan of carbon guitars back to and I've got about three of them. No, I got two or three carbons. No, I've got four carbons. No, I'm mixing it up with Samick. I've got four Samicks. I've got two carbons. And they're direct to consumer out in California. And they've gotten some of their California cut has gotten a guitar player pick. And that's usually only reserved for everybody in staff has to like it. And they don't normally give that to too many things. And I've got that nylon string, which sounds phenomenal. But as you know, the bridge has been fixed and it needed what's that part that it needs? Not the bridge, but the actual part that it goes on, that the strings go on. Is that the bridge? It's not the wood part, it's the bowl part.
It's the nut.
The nut on the bridge?
It's the bridge saddle.
Say that again.
Bridge saddle.
Bridge saddle! That's it! That's it! $60 award for... Right answer. Bridge saddle. Yeah.
Don't treat your eyes.
Bridge saddle. And...
know that stuff.
I could not get anyone to answer my call. And I finally found someone to answer a phone. I was on hold once for 20 minutes, and they said, who are you holding for? I said, somebody can help me with this. And I finally talked to someone. He said, oh, that's an old guitar. We haven't made that in a long time. I'm like, so? Still got your name on it. And they said, email this guy. And I emailed that particular individual, Lorenzo at whatever, carbonguitars.com, whatever. No response. It got bounced back as a bad address. And then they said, go to service. So I emailed the service at... it's now KieselGuitars.com. And I've yet to have an answer. It's been 2 weeks. So I used to think that one day I might order a Kiesel guitar because they intrigue me. That probability has gone down drastically now just because of that experience, that customer support. They don't value their customers any more than that. Granted, it's an old guitar, but you know, I value a company. When I was in packaging, we had a packaging machine. Packaging machines are notoriously finicky because you got to get the packaging just right and everything's got to line up and a lot of pieces. And we had a packaging machine that was made in the 80s. The customer support was unlimited. They give you parts, but they said that they were warning us. They were saying it had old chips that were from the 80s that didn't even make anymore. And I said, you know, if these chips, the previous generation, we can't even send you the motherboard anymore because the chips, they discontinued making them. And we don't, you know, we're in the chip business, nothing we can do. So it might come a time when your machine, Hasten is the manufacturer I'm thinking of, might come a time when we, and if it expires, we cannot literally replace it. But it was out of their hands because you can't expect a machine maker to make chips. They buy the chips, right? And so Hasten, shout out to Hasten. If I ever got back in the packaging business, there's no machine I'd buy other than a Hasten. Used or new. Because of the way they treat their customers.
Yeah, so. You take care of your people.
What's that?
Take care of your people.
Take care of your people.
pretty simple. And,
you know, so customer support, you know, it's the difference between a great company and maybe a good company, in my opinion. I mean, it's thin on the ground in 2021. It's customer support has been outsourced to other countries. And, you know, you had some experience with customer support with your, I'm sorry to remind you of it, with your burglar alarm thing. How many hours did you get on the phone? You had more pages than I do.
Like an hour and a half on the phone.
And the thing is screaming at tone deafening levels the entire time.
Vivint was the company. They're a garbage company. I'm not afraid to say that.
Don't be afraid.
My family was standing outside and it was cold and raining and it was so loud in here that you literally couldn't stay inside. And I had the lady on the phone for like an hour and a half. She was telling me that the alarm had been disabled while I'm standing in front of the alarm getting blasted by this thing. And she's like, well, I disabled it. No, you didn't. Like telling me I'm not hearing what I'm hearing. So I end up having to rip it out of the wall.
Yeah, I saw the hole in the wall.
Bad deal. And it takes a lot to get me to that point, man. You know?
It wouldn't have been 90 minutes for me. It would have been about 10 or less.
Yeah.
I don't have much patience myself.
Yeah, it's a garbage company, garbage customer support. And the funny thing is, I had been with them for like 10 years. You know, never needed to call them or anything. And had an alarm system here, and I had one at my father's house as well. 10 years.
Well, you know, I mean, having worked for corporate America and been in management, I can understand the mentality. And actually, some of the guy who was the big the guy for GE, and I can't think of his name, but he was in front of, in the cover of all of the business magazines in the 90s. He was considered guru for business management. But what he did, he would come in and he would cut everything, cut anything that wasn't a profit center. And customer service is not a short-term profit center. You're going to spend money because you're not going to, like, for example, Apple. I spent like 3 hours with Apple support. They didn't make a cent from that transaction, not one penny. So if you're looking at it from a specific, every activity, what the dollars you're making, the first thing you do would be customer support. But if you're looking at building a brand and you're looking at building customers that'll wait in line around the block for a new model that's coming out, like they do for Apple, you will consider that a long-term investment.
Yeah. Big old tires, man. They're like that too.
I don't know.
Big old tires. Once you buy tires from them, they rotate your tires for free. And they have like roadside assistance and stuff.
Is that a local tire shop?
They're a national chain.
Oh, okay. I'm not aware.
Yeah, but yeah. It's customer support.
Yeah. I mean, it still matters in 2021. It still matters.
Yeah. I agree.
So.
Kind of a lost art.
Well, some companies, you know, embrace it. But it's really hard once you go corporate, once you become, you know, a publicly traded company. It's really hard to keep that mentality because you're always worried about your share, the quarterly report, and what the returns are, and if your share is going to go up or down versus did you meet the expectations. If you're a privately held company, you don't have to answer to that gerbil treadmill of quarterly reports. So that whole system is a bit contributes to the problem.
You're right.
Now, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure that Kiesel Carbon, same company. I think what they did is they make carbon is their, they make amps and amplifiers and electronics. I think that's still carbon, but the guitar side of it is Kiesel. And they're privately held, as far as I know. They're not that big that they're so, but I don't know if the guy who started it is still there. Maybe his offspring has taken it over. That's often what happens. As soon as Sam Walton died, Walmart changed. You know, you remember when Walmart was buying domestically and you'd go into their stores in the early 90s and it was all buy American and everything is American made? As soon as Sam Walton's out of the picture, they went offshore sourcing. Radically changed. Radically changed. Wasn't about, you know, supporting the Heartland manufacturers.
Right.
So, you know.
I think Taylor Guitars is now owned by the people that work there.
Owned by, say it again?
Owned by its employees.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
So who's going to put more of their heart and soul into something than the people that own, you know, when all of them own the business? Makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. And
it almost made me like them more.
Absolutely. No. I mean, companies can regain their soul. I think Gibson Guitars is taking steps to regain their soul.
Mm-hmm.
After getting rid of Henry Jankowitz.
Yeah. QC got a little janky there for a while.
It did. Well, Jankowitz, you know, what do you expect? A little janky.
Fair enough.
That's my name. I'm going to make a janky.
He did a fine job of it. Well, you can make janky stuff and sell it, but not for the kind of money they were charging.
True, true, true. What do you know about Fender crafted in Japan, made in Japan guitars? Are you familiar? Have you gone down that rabbit hole?
Japanese-made Fender guitars?
Yeah. There's two versions. There's MIG and there's CIJ. Sorry, MIJ and CIJ. And the made in Japan was pre about 2002. And then after that, they started calling it crafted in Japan, CIJ.
I remember playing some Japanese made Strats in the 80s that were almost always better than the American made Strats from the same era. Like substantially better guitars. Some of the better Strats that I'd played back then when I was first getting going with it. Some of the best ones I played were Japanese Strats. And it's still, man, you know, Epiphone makes incredible stuff and it's cheap, relatively, to what you would pay for, you know, anything else of that quality. And their quality control is insane. Epiphone guitars are incredibly consistent.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think so, man. And Fender, I mean, all in all, Fender stays pretty much on the mark. The trouble is they have so many different variants of what they do. Even if you're like a professional guitar player, you can't keep up with everything that they put out. They're like, here's the custom shop version, and here's the Strat Elite, and here's a Player Series, and here's the Strat Deluxe, and here's the American Standard, and here's the Road Worn, and here's the 50 Strat, and here's the 60 Strat. So it's turned into this strange thing where it's like you almost have to gauge it by the price tag, which
by the price, absolutely.
You're like, okay, it's $1,000. Well, it's an American Strat, you know? And if you see one, it's like $600, it's like, that's not an American Strat. And I mean, when you get a company that's that dominant, that you're guessing what they're selling you by the price, they can do anything they want.
Yeah.
But that stays in the game.
Now, I know I'm probably going to be chastised from the grave by your buddy. Carol DeCamp Isn't he the one who said, if you need to put a different capacitor in your guitar, you just need to practice more?
Yeah.
Well, in spite of that burning in my ears, I'm not satisfied with my Made in Mexico 72 thin line reissue. And I've done a lot of deep dive reading on the pickups. Now, they're supposed to be what's the special kind of pickup? It's supposed to be, it was a Seth Lower design pickup. And it was a very special pickup that they put on those. And it was using a special kind of magnet, Cunife, I don't know how you pronounce it, C-U, capital C-U, capital N-I, and then F-E. Apparently, you can't even get it material anymore. It's like unobtainium. And it was definitely, the leads were screwed. The leads were screwed into the magnet. And so it was some very unique construction techniques. And it's wider than a typical humbucker. And on that Mexico reissue, what's underneath the hood is standard humbuckers in a wider cavity. So it looks like it's the same thing. They just made it look like it, but it's a standard. And then they put a whole bunch of wax in there to fill up the difference.
Yeah.
And so it sounds nothing like the original 72s. And you can, you know, put a Band-Aid on it and put a higher pot. You know, supposedly they're saying 500K pot or even 1,000K pot, but this pickup was designed for a 250K pot. So you're really, in fact, one of the guys said if you put a higher pot on, I've read a lot of articles, if you put a higher resistance pot, you almost have to shield it because you're going to have so many highs that you're actually going to have feedback or whatever. You have to shield it. So I Googled it, and there's aftermarket companies. I'm not one to buy aftermarket pickups. I'm not into that. I'm not into replace the pickups because I think it's a self-serving thing. But in this particular guitar, I'm tempted and sweet. And there's a lot of different options. Now, none of them make it from Cunife or whatever you pronounce that. Well, you can get that kind of pickup, but it's $800 a pickup. The whole guitar cost me, I think, five something. I'm not going to spend $1,600 on a pickup. But you can, Sweetwater has a similar design. It's not made from that same material, but it's made from Alnico. But it does have the screwed in leads, which I guess was a very unique design. And it's $249 for the pair. And it's Sweetwater's carrying it. That kind of cuts through the noise for me. Indiana company. So I'd like to get your opinion on that. Of course, it's all in the hearing, of course, but you can't try it out. You know, you have to buy it. I guess you could send it back. Sweetwater, let me take it, send it back. Talk about customer service. Sweetwater has customer service.
And how much is it?
$249 for the pair.
Going set of pickups.
Say it again.
That's the going rate for a set of pickups. That's about right.
No, so I mean, it's
for a pickup is insane. I see these guys sell their pickups, you know, the old Strat pickups and stuff like that. $3,000 for a single pickup. I don't see it, man.
I don't either. You know, and then like some of the manufacturers are more money, like a Lawler. If you buy a Lawler, you know, I think it's $400, $500. He's more expensive. Jason Lawler, what's his name? Lawler pickups.
I know those pickups sound great.
Do they? So maybe they're deserved.
Yeah, Lawler sound amazing. They might actually be worth the money.
Oh, okay.
They might be.
Turning over his grave.
Yeah. I know a lot of guys that use those.
Do you?
Yeah, it's a fairly common thing. Players switch Telecasters, you know. Switch over Lawlers.
they're Telecasters, but well, you're talking about traditional Telecasters.
Yeah. But I don't, you know, I don't get into all that, man. I think that it's an endless thing. Whoever made the guitar knows more about making guitars than the players do, more times than not.
And well, one of the guys that posted, true, one of the guys that posted about the Made in Mexico, somebody said, why didn't they make them like they made them in the past? And they said, well, I don't think anybody's be spending 15, because everything's a multiple. You know, if a part costs you a nickel, it'll add whatever the multiple is to the retail price. Yeah. So when you're making guitars for retail through the normal retail channels, everything, I don't know what the multiple is, but there is a multiple. So if something costs a buck, it'll raise the price by, say, $4. Because you got your labor and you got the distribution and you got all of that. So he said, I didn't think anyone would buy a Made in Mexico reissue for $1,500. So they had to hit a price point. $650 is a sweet spot for a Made in Mexico guitar. You were just talking about that. So they had a price point, and the only way they could reach that price point was to take humbuckers they already had and put them in a larger cavity so they looked right, but they didn't sound anything like the old ones.
Right.
And then slathered full, like a half an inch of polyurethane on it. I literally had that sanded down because the wood, like, it was just a polyurethane. There was no wood breathing. So I don't know why they did that on that guitar. Maybe so that there's no returns for getting damaged. There's no way you could damage that finish. It was so thick. There had to have been zero returns on a Made in Mexico.
It's such a subjective thing too, man, because you've got guys that say you have to have this kind of nut, or you have to take the back plate off the Stratocaster, or it has to be this exact string height, or it has to be, you have to have a water-based lacquer, or you have to take the finish all the way off, or you, I mean, there's 500,000 variables that people say affect all that stuff. And I think it's a bunch of bullshit, really, man. I mean, because there's great recordings on
PG friendly. That's okay.
Right. I just don't buy into it, man, at all. I mean, it's just, if they can't sell that concept, then there is no market for it.
Well, there is, you know, and I try to stay away from it, but there is a whole group of guys that apparently, I mean, you get on these forums, there's a lot of forums, and you can see most of these forums, they must use the same software. I don't know what software they use. But it shows you how many posts each individual has had, you know. And some of these guys have posted 20,000 times, you know. So you know that they're basically living on these forums, making so many posts. And they get rated higher, you know. They're like a gold member and a platinum member or whatever. And the ones that have the higher rating are more highly. And you'll see the post where they say, oh, we need to have so-and-so chime in, you know. And so they're like the lord of that particular forum. Well, what if they'd taken all that time and spent it on practicing? I
mean, yeah.
You know, and there are people that are obsessed with, you know, I changed out the pickups and then I changed out and I put brass nut on it and I put brass bridge saddles and then I'm going to change it to this and I'm going to put a different capacity in there. I mean, there is.
Yeah. And then you see the gear rundown videos of the world's greatest guitar players. And they're like, so, you know, what's your delay pedal? And they're like, I don't know. Or like, what are them settings on your delay? I don't know. What kind of pots are your guitar? I'm not sure. What gauge strings do you use? I think these are 10s. I don't know. Because they're too busy playing to worry about that stuff. You know what I mean? It's like the gearheads and the players and the gearheads are usually two completely different animals.
True, but there's not all the way. Like, take a couple of the guys that we both highly, highly revere, Hendrix and Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray put bass frets on his track.
Yeah.
That was a pioneer thing, right? And it really made his sound, right? So he definitely knew what kind of fret wire was on his track, right? And Jimmy, I mean, he and Roger Mayer invented a lot of stuff. So Jimmy was definitely involved in gear. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Right.
There's but a balance.
More times than not, that stuff happens accidentally. You know? I mean, like SRV was using all kinds of different amps and all kinds of different guitars. And oftentimes the storyline that I got from guys like Lonnie Mack that were around him was that oftentimes he just didn't know any better. I mean, he ran the gamut as far as gear that he used through the years. It was Les Pauls, 335s, Flying Vs, Telecasters, literally any guitar that you could think of, any rig that you could think of, SRV had went through.
And really?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, he had played Les Paul Customs, 335s, Flying Vs. You can find pictures of him playing just about any guitar you could think of. Telecasters. And he just kind of landed trial and error. I mean, he didn't sit down and map it out and say, I'm going to take an old Stratocaster and this year body and this year neck. Everybody thinks he did because the result was so amazing. But really, that's never how innovation happens. It's usually just some guy banging around. He goes, oh, did you hear that? And I'm sure that's exactly what he did. He went, oh, do you hear this? This guitar through this super or whatever that rig was when he finally got that tone, you know? And even Roger Mayer, when he worked with Hendrix, said that they had experimented at great length with pickups and pickup windings and how many winds to get the optimal responsiveness out of a guitar. And Roger Mayer's conclusion was that Leo had it about right, that he really couldn't. I mean, even as an astrophysicist, he couldn't improve on what Leo already had done with them. So even all the Hendrix stuff, man, they were stock pickups. It was a stock Strat through stock Marshalls that weren't really modded. And a lot of the stuff that Stevie did was stock stuff too, man. I mean, the fret wire thing was different for sure, and the heavy strings and maybe a little hotter pickups, but it wasn't nothing crazy that they did. I think they were just such powerhouses musically that they would have came across as being incredibly innovative, even if they would have played, you know, they could have played acoustic guitars and we'd be talking about how they changed the game with acoustic guitars probably. But it is, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody, but oftentimes it seems like innovation, it's funny. My son asked me the question one day. He said, why do all these huge businesses start in garages? And I said, well, it's because that's where you experiment. And most of these huge businesses that blow up, they blow up just because people are trying different combinations of things together and they get just the right mixture. And next thing you know, it's huge. It's Amazon or it's the Marshall amplifier or whatever. All that stuff started from guys just banging around and trial and error. Yeah. Capacitors. I've run guitars that way, man. By taking something like I had an old Telecaster. It wasn't really old. It was old to me. But I had a Telecaster that was really heavy from the late 70s. And I changed out the pickups and the capacitor, the pots and everything. And I ruined that guitar. Mm. And what I found, man, is that every time I start, I can't remember who said it to me, but somebody like hit me over the head with a club because I was doing all this stuff to Telecasters. And I kept saying, I was like, I need it to sound bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would try different pickups and I think it may have been my brother Ralphie that said it. I can't remember for sure. It was either Ralph or my brother Jeff. But I'd been on this path for like 2 years. Like, I'm going to get this Telecaster right. And I was just hell-bent on making this one Telecaster sound the way I wanted it to sound. And then one day my brother's like, are you sure you're just not trying to make that guitar sound like a Gibson? It's like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. And he was right, you know. But that happens too. I mean, guys do that.
True, true, true. Well, I'm not one. I've not swapped out pickups on any other guitar, but it's just this one specific thin line. When I found out, what's that?
It needs it.
It seemed like it, but when you played it, you plugged it into input number 2, and it did sound a lot better. So now you can find guys on the forums that like existing pickups. Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I do have that I have been playing that slick guitar. The P90s are so nasty on it, but the neck, it's hard to play. I'm you said it's a shredder neck, but it's actually it makes me work harder to play it. Does that make sense? And then I switched over to the Tele. I've got that Made in Japan Tele, and I was like, ah, this is home. I love that neck. The only thing about it, it's got almost invisible frets. That's why I asked about the jumbo frets. The frets are just tiny, tiny. They're like angel hair pasta. I mean, they're just tiny. They're not even normal size. They're micro, almost. And so that's what I was wondering about putting jumbo, maybe not as far as bass, but that's the only complaint about that. I mean, when I played that, I was practicing on that slick for about a week, and I'm like, man, have I lost something? Why? It just feels like everything is so hard. I'm working so hard here to try to do the same thing that I did before. And I was just bound to determine that I was going to, you know, conquer it, I guess. So I said, maybe I just get used to it. It's just different. And then I picked up that Tele, Made in Japan Tele, which is also Fender. Like, my normal is a Strat. And I'm like, back home.
Right. Once you get used to something, man.
I mean, it is a Tele. I mean, how close are Tele and Strat necks? Are they pretty? I mean, I know they have different.
Yeah, they're all over the place, man. I'm a lot more at home on a Stratocaster than Teles. But I think they both have just about anything you can think of, you know. It's part of the beauty of them is the interchangeable parts.
I don't know. I mean, I'll think about it some more, whether or not I should. I can always sell. I see that people are selling those potted up pickups that I have. They have them on for sale on Reverb for $80 to $100 for the pair. So that could defray the cost if I could get those.
That'll pay for your pickups you're going to order from Sweetwater to replace it.
No, I mean, it wouldn't pay for all of it. It would defray the costs.
Get you in the neighborhood. Yeah. Sweetwater is an amazing company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk about customer service. I mean, if you buy something from Sweetwater, they add another 2 years of warranty onto whatever the manufacturer. Well, no, regardless of what the manufacturer is doing, they'll give you 2 years warranty.
Yeah, and so, you feel like that dude that started the company would drive to your house if he had to.
Yeah, 100%.
And be like, so what went wrong here?
Absolutely. I love those guys. I don't buy from anyone else unless there are some brands that they don't carry. So that's another thing. If they are carrying, when I'm looking at all these different pickups, and I found that Sweetwater was carrying this one particular brand, I mean, because it's a rather limited. It's only used in like the 72 thin line and the reissues, or the real issues. You wouldn't put it in an actual 72 thin line because it would have the original pickups. But the reissues, it only fits in the very specific model. And so they're really not big sellers. So there are people that make them. they probably make them to order. You have to place the order and say, we'll ship it to you in 8 weeks or whatever it would be. Right. But the fact that Sweetwater is carrying it, that just boosted up about five notches for me. Because that means the company's got to be pretty reputable. Because they don't carry everybody. They don't even carry Leslie cabinets. Remember one of that Leslie cabinets? They don't even carry Leslie cabinets, which surprised me. It would be a big brand. I had to order that from Guitar Center.
They're the best.
They're the best. Another Indiana thing. Another Indiana company.
Hoosiers, man.
Absolutely.
Well, as always, it's good to see you again.
Absolutely, buddy. We've done our 40 minutes. I guess we talked about guitars for about the whole time. Probably lost anyone who's not a musician. Or not even a guitar player. Yeah. I play the sax. I don't want to talk about guitars.
Exactly.
I play the piano or whatever it would be.
Heck, man, it dipped down for a little bit. Now it's on its way back up.
Yeah.
Right on, brother.
All right. Jimmy D and the Wolf.
Peace.
See you next time.